So welcome to 2010, Bhakti Vaibhava. 2010-2011. So hopefully, if we're successful, we'll do this over 2 years. So that's a bit of a challenge, and a little bit later we'll have a look at what we've got to do to achieve that goal. So my name's Gangeshwar, of course, for those who know me. Others, I see some new faces. In a moment I'm going to pass out some attendance sheets, and I might pass out 2 attendance sheets. They're both identical, except that one will be for those who are going to do the entire course and who want to be awarded the Bhakti Vaibhava certificate at the end. I'll explain again a little bit later what the prerequisites are for those who want to be awarded the certificate. And others may attend but may not necessarily have the necessary prerequisites for being awarded a certificate, but still want to attend for one reason or another. So we'll look at that. But on the attendance sheet, I'll pass around 2, and those who are going to try for the certificate should put their name on that one, and the others on the other sheet. the other sheet, of course, for those who perhaps may not attend the full Bhakti Vaibhava, the attendance sheet is not so much relevant, except it helps me to remember your names and what have you. So we're going to begin with a overview, just a look at our Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we have on our altar, we have this messy altar. We have Sankarshan representing Lord Balaram, and we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Sri Krishna. And we're going to look at, I'll read a quote actually, which describes how the Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Lord Sri Krishna. So, who brought a Bhagavatam? Just out of interest. Yeah, good. Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, bring one to every class. Other books which are handy, they're not essential, you don't really, but by Burijan Prabhu, the lotus feet, unveiling his lotus feet. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Slokacharitam Chakra Bhagavan Rishi Nishayasaya Lokasya Danyam Sastananam Mahat Danyam Sasyayanam Mahat. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. So there, in the Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text number 40, this verse describing that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God. So, what we're we can do is we can have a look at the different features of the form of the Lord in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who's good at drawing pictures of Krishna? Any volunteers? Okay, so what we'll do is do without the picture. Who's good at writing? Put it on here. Then we're going to have start here at the bottom or work our way up. And there is you need 9 spots. So volumes 1 and 2 or cantos 1 and 2 over there, so 1 and 2, yeah. His 2 lotus feet. Okay, canto 3 and 4, his thighs. You can just put 3 and 4. Canto 5. So, who's actually read? This is our, you know, introductory lesson, but who's actually read the preface or the introduction? Yeah, that's good. Again, later in the lesson, I'll actually describe, you know, the reading assignments that we'll have from week to week. Today we're going to just look very briefly at some of the main points in the preface and the introduction, and we're going to have an overview of the study of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, the first 6 cantos being the Bhakti Vaibhava, and the next 6 cantos being completed is the Bhakti Vedanta. We're also going to look at this course, exactly, you know, what you'll need to do as students in order to study previous to the classes, when the classes are, the duration of the course, the schedule, everything like that. We're going to look at the assessment, how everything will be assessed, so what you'll need to do in order to study. We'll also look at, in a moment, just some of the class norms, just so we set our standards from the very beginning. Okay, so here you see on this list is written, we have cantos 1 and 2, his lotus feet, cantos 3 and 4, his thighs, canto 5, his waist, canto 6, his chest, canto 7 and 8, his 2 strong arms, canto 9, his neck, canto 10, his smiling face. Who knows what canto 11 is? Forehead. Okay. And canto 12, his crown. Oh, it's got it written there. I actually didn't know that. I only learnt that recently. All right. So, another way we can just have a quick look at the overview. Is that there are 10 subject matters discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. 10 topics. Somewhere. Just before we go on to that, just a very brief summary of these cantos. Canto 1 and 2, which is referred to as Padapadma, cantos 3 and 4, 3 to 7, actually deal with the first Manvantara Svayambhuva Manu and his children. Canto 8 deals with the other 13 Manus in this day of Brahma. Canto 9, our current Manu, the Vaivasvata Manu, so that deals with that. And we're now living during the noontime of the day of Brahma, and this canto includes discussions of the kings who descend from Vaivasvata Manu, and Krishna appeared in this line 5,000 years ago. Canto 10, of course, is the Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka. Canto 11 describes Krishna's disappearance and his final instructions. And Canto 12 ends with the conclusion of the kings in the line of Vaivasvata Manu down to the current time, including a summary of Srimad Bhagavatam and the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the epilogue, the summary, closing of the Manvantara Katha. That's a very brief understanding, overview of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And 10 subject matters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Creation, which is actually the ingredients of the cosmos. Sub-creation, you don't have to necessarily jot all this down because you're probably better off to just listen. I'll give you these handouts some stage. Sub-creations is the second subject. That's called, the first one is Saga, the second one is Vishaga. And the sub-creations are the creations of Brahma. Stanam is the third one, planetary systems and the maintenance of the creation. 4, Posanam, protection by the Lord, special favour given to the faithful. The fifth one is Utaya, or creative impetus. The sixth topic, Manvantare, the change of Manus and the prescribed duties for law-abiding men. The seventh topic, Ishanu Kata, the science of God, description of the incarnations of the Lord. Eighth topic, Nirodho, withdrawal, winding up the cosmic creation. Ninth topic, Mukti, or liberation. And the tenth topic is Ashraya, the Samambhanam. So just any comments or questions? That's just a very brief summary of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll get you some copies of those.
Sorry, what did you say, the ninth one?
The ninth one was Mukti, or liberation. Yeah, it's good to have that just overall, you know, understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The those 10 topics, of course, those 10 topics are not necessarily, although if you look in the titles of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see that different cantos bear the names of those different topics to some degree or another. But it's not necessarily that, you know, for instance, the ninth canto only deals with the topic of mukti or liberation. Those subjects are covered throughout, you know, all the cantos of the Bhagavatam, although there are certain sections which are, you know, specifically deal with them, in, you know, more prominently. Alright, so I think everyone's here. I was waiting for everyone to get here before we sort of just go over some of the class norms, just so that everyone's... no one has any excuses then. All right. Who's from Bhakti Shastri? Yep. So most people know these, so I'll go over them quite quickly. They're very self-evident. First one, people will be present for the whole course. Of course, that specifically applies to those who want to be awarded the Bhakti Vaibhava certificate. Personally, I don't mind having other people come along. In fact, I welcome them if they want to come and hear, join in. But naturally, they will still have to follow the class norms. But for those wanting to get the Bhakti Vaibhava certificate without attending the entire course, it would be almost impossible to do that. We're going through it over the course of 2 years. It's not much different to what they do in Mayapur. They have over two years, they have 3 months. So 1 year, 3 months, the next year, 3 months. We were having 2 years, but we're having it every week instead of five lessons a week. We're going to spread it out. So we're actually going just a little bit quicker, not a lot, than how they do it in Mayapur. But having said that, I know that, you know, it is quite a pace, and if you miss a lesson, you're going to struggle. If you miss that week's study, you're going to struggle. But don't despair, because the course is divided up into units, so you can, you know, opt that, for instance, if there's a few weeks or a month you're not going to be there, you might just have to miss a unit, catch it up another time. So you can be credited all the other units, but of course only when you complete all the units do you, can you be awarded the certificate. And you know, it may be better sometimes that someone just skips a unit and keeps up with what they can, rather than being in a particular unit and still trying to catch up from the past. That'll make it very, very difficult. So better to attend the whole course for your own benefit. People raise hands to contribute. I can sense now you're a very noisy bunch, so I'll just say straight off, you know, if you please refrain from making so much noise, speaking out without raising your hand. We will value student contributions whether or not we agree with them. So that applies to myself and, of course, others. We will refrain from side conversations. We will refrain from making and receiving mobile phone calls during class. That's, of course, you know, I'm going to allow that if the phone rings, you can take it and go outside, because, you know, people have certain important things that, you know, can't be left, so they need to leave the phone on. So you can answer it, walk outside. Don't answer it and talk in the class. But certainly if your phone's ringing constantly, you may have to just stay out. but you know, try and be considerate. We'll observe confidentially within the classroom and without the classroom. We will refrain from borrowing strength from status or position. We respect the right to the individual to withdraw without stating reasons from any exercise which makes them feel unduly uncomfortable. And we will each accept full responsibility for success in achieving our desired outcomes. We will confront issues of behavior, not people. And we will each honor any agreement reached. Any difficulties, understanding there? Anyone disagree? Okay. All right, so we've got that out of the way. Okay, so let's get back to have a brief look at the Srimad Bhagavatam before we look at the overview of the course itself. And just before I do that, can I get someone to hand out these sheets? Yep. Now, as you see, you've got 16, 17, so everyone gets one of those. I've got 10 sheets. Nice. All right. Now, just before you go, there's 10 of them. There's 10 of those. And there's 10 of those. Now, who's intending to do, just before you hand them out, who's intending to actually do the entire Bhakti Vaibhava and, you know, sit the, you know, each and every unit and hopefully be awarded the certificate? Just quick criteria is that to be awarded the Bhakti Vaibhava certificate, of course, one has to have completed the Bhakti Shastri. I know that there are some students still waiting for things to be marked, which we'll look at in a moment. But for those who did Bhakti Shastri last year, the last couple of years, and they think that, you know, when they finally get everything marked, that they're going to be okay, they can, you know, they're qualified. Some are doing Bhakti Shastri now, yeah, so, you know, you're in the race. One has to be initiated. I'm pretty sure. Let me just check my... I think there's... Oh, probably, yes. There's one of them. Let's have a look. Yep. must either be first initiated in the Gaudi Vaishnava Sampradaya, got to be in the right Sampradaya, of course, or on a waiting list for first initiation by an approved guru. Now, so keep in mind that you know, many students who are not initiated now and may not even be on a waiting list, in the course of 2 years may be initiated. So you know, that's and some may be initiated shortly after that time. So, you know, don't just say, oh, I'm not initiated now. Think the game's up. Of course, being initiated, the candidate must be able to certify that they're chanting 16 rounds and following the four regular principles. And the candidate must have been recommended by an ISKCON authority who knows the candidate well. All right? Certifying that that person is favourably engaged in preaching for at least the previous 3 years. So they're, you know, they're the standard. So all those who think that, you know, they're going to therefore sit the exam at the end, gradually, you know, either being qualified now or gradually gaining those qualifications over the next couple of years, put the hand up.
One question. Yep. People who have not done the Bhakti Shastri.
Yes.
I've not done that.
Well, I'll answer your question. Everyone that's got their hand up, hand out those sheets too. if you've not done the Bhakti Shastri, how long? I think you can do it in 3 months, isn't it? Is that correct? You can do it by how long do you?
By correspondence. You can do it at your own pace.
Better to join Prabhu's class. He's teaching Bhakti Shastri. But I'll say now, it'll be very difficult to actually start Bhakti Shastri now. For those who are sort of already into it, or you know, just a little bit to finalise, that's okay. I would say, if without having started Bhakti Shastri now, you're better off to do the Bhakti Shastri course with Gopi Vrindesh Prabhu, and you're welcome to come and sit on any, you know, come to any of the Bhakti Vaibhava classes that you like. But I would say it'd be very, very difficult to actually just do both. And I think you'd struggle, you know, in the Bhakti Vaibhava. I really do. So, alright. So, everyone who had their hand up, they've all got those sheets from 16 to 20. Who hasn't got a sheet, put their hand up. Oh, he's still going. Alright, while you're doing that, I'm going to pass these lists around. So you can actually have a brief look at those sheets, just familiarise yourself with them, as I just go around and just get people to put their names on. So I'm going to come around, there's two sheets. One I've got titled for the Bhakti Vaibhava Certificate, and the other one I've got for General Attendance. Okay, so please put your name on the right one, this one here. This is from Narada Bhakti Sutra, Chapter 2, verse 23. And this is describing again, since we're on the subject of how to study Srimad Bhagavatam and the qualifications for studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni says, the authorized approach to the Bhagavatam is to first carefully read the first 9 cantos, which establish the greatness of the Supreme Lord, His universal form, His material and spiritual energies, His creation of the cosmos, His incarnations, and so on. Reading the first 2 cantos is like contemplating the lotus feet of the Lord, and as one gradually progresses, one looks upon the Lord's various bodily limbs until finally one sees His smiling face in the 10th canto's account of His pastimes with the gopis. And this verse here from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 43. Krishna Sva Dharmo Pagate Dharma Ginadi Visaha Kalonasta Drishambisha Puranoko Dunoditaha. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode. Accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be progressing as recommended by the Bhagavatam itself and the various acharyas through the various cantos, through the various topics, so that by the time we reach the 10th canto and the Bhaktivedanta stage of studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be fully God-realized, as it says in the, I think it's the preface, that after, you know, Srila Prabhupada is saying that, you know, studying carefully these first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, it gives one that credit of being God-realized, and then being God-realized, then one can actually understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And especially within the 10th canto, there are also more and more confidential activities of the Supreme Lord, which is, if heard without the proper cultivation of the understanding of the science of God, one can actually take those activities of Krishna to be like an ordinary person. In that way, one can make some blunders, you know, on the spiritual path. People who jump to the 10th canto without going through the study of the first 9 cantos will not really be able to derive the benefit from the 10th canto. So we go step by step. At the same time, you know, we've all heard the quote that, you know, reading about the pastimes of Krishna is like eating a sweet ball. That, you know, you can bite it from any part, and, you know, it's like a gulab jamun. You know, whichever way you bite it, it's sweet and nectarian. So that applies. It's a fact. You know, the pastimes of the Lord are like that. You know, people can just get a little taste here and there. They might just, you know, open up a book, or, you know, something may appeal to them and they'll look that up and read it and look at it. They may, the first introduction to Krishna consciousness may be getting the Krishna book, and they'll read the Krishna book and get a little taste there. But having gotten that taste, if they really want to enter into the proper understanding, then they're recommended to go back to the beginning and step by step to, you know, go through systematically. Like that. And of course, even before starting this very systematic study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, one should, you know, understand preliminary literatures such as the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, Nectar of Instruction, and the first 19 chapters of the Nectar Devotion, at least. Those studies done in the Bhakti Shastri, very, very valuable, and they really give you the proper groundwork to then properly do, you know, the full study of the serious study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're beginning here the first 6 cantos, but ultimately I hope that all of us, you know, will be studying, you know, right up to the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in years to come, and to, you know, to do a complete and full study. There is a course going on with Keshava Prabhu. Keshava Prabhu is Hare Krishna. Keshava Prabhu is a pioneer, of course, in these educational classes in the Melbourne. And we all owe a great debt to Keshava Prabhu. Some of the facility that we have now, just in the last couple of weeks, because Atul Krishna gave me a copy of the most updated course structure for Bhakti Bhai Baba, and I will give a copy to Keshava Prabhu, because some of that information he hasn't had. Also with Bhakti Shastri, you've got the most recent update of the Bhakti Shastri course, which is really wonderful, makes it a lot easier for the students and for the teacher. We did it over the last couple of years, and having looked at that course, a little bit jealous, but so similarly, we're very fortunate that we're able to have the latest advanced course structure in Bhakti Bhai Baba. It helps us to go through it a lot quicker. One of the ways it helps us to go through it quicker is that they've separated some sections, which you have there, called the let's have a look at your page. There's one section which is called Purva Svadhyaya. It is preliminary self-study. Having separated the course like that, it allows the students to do a lot of study at home in their own time, and therefore the time that we need to spend in class can be more productive, because you will have already read through certain things, you'll have studied certain things, you will have concentrated your attention on certain things. So let's have a look at, in page, 16, what's your first page? 16? Mm-hmm. What's the title on that? Scheduled reading assignments. Right. Yeah. Okay, I've got a different numbering system here. So you see there that in those couple of pages, before the student even gets to class, they've read certain sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. They know that there are certain very prominent things that they should, the essence that they should understand, so that they've looked at those specifically. They've had a good think about them. They've tried to answer some questions. there's a general overview given of the verses in the chapter, and towards the end. So that's what we call the preliminary self-study. And having separated that from the actual classes that we give means that we can go through the course a lot quicker. In Mayapur, what they do is that they have a, module one goes for 26 weeks. So 13 weeks, as far as I understand, they have this preliminary study, and then there's 13 weeks in the class, and then module two is the same. So before the students even get to class, so their classes, of course, are five lessons a week. Now you imagine, you do a lesson, and then the teacher gives you a whole you know, a lot of reading and questions to answer. You couldn't do that by the time you come back to class the next day. But they've already done it, you know, in the preceding weeks. The difference between what we're going to do here is we're going to have a double lesson once a week, which means that our preliminary reading, although we haven't spent the last 13 weeks studying all these sections, we're going to spend the time in between classes. So that's a little bit of a difference. But having done that, it really separates a huge amount of work from the actual class and allows us to go through it in a couple of years. So there's a little bit of a difference there between some of the previous, Bhakti Vaibhava lessons and how we're doing it now. And that allows us to go through. But the difficulty is, so some of the benefits, of course, with the way things have been going on with Keshava Prabhu, is that the teacher covering a lot more in class is certainly going to help students who don't have very good study habits. Well, you know, good, but perhaps they're not quite doing as much as what they should do. Then, you know, by the grace of Keshava Prabhu, he's really covering a lot more in the classes and getting them through. So the difference here, we have to understand that distinction, of course, is that that benefit is not there. Our benefit, of course, is we get, you know, over the course of a couple of years, we get to do the entire Bhakti Bhava, if we're successful. But the difficulty, the drawback, not really a drawback, but if students don't do that study during the week and they come to class and expect that the teacher is just going to cover all of that content slowly and, you know, in a lot more detail, then they're going to have difficulty. one of the things I found when I was doing the Bhakti Shastri was that I noticed that students who didn't, you know, read the chapter, they weren't able to even formulate the right questions which they should have asked in class. And so therefore, you know, as a teacher, I was waiting for some questions, and when they weren't asked, then I was asking them myself and then answering them. Now the difficulty here, of course, is that students must, for their own benefit, keep up with the study during the week. Everyone understand the distinction? Any questions or comments on that? So let's have a look at what we're going to do over the next year. The reason I've given you handouts is because I want to get the numbers of those who are attending all those who want the to attend the Bhakti Vaibhava. Either generally or who are seriously intending to try and get the final award or the certificate. I need to know who is doing either and who needs books. So I will have them printed up, hopefully. I'll give them a list to, numbers to Kundalata today or tomorrow. And next time you come, you should have a student handbook, and which is where I've taken these handouts from. And you'll also have a book of quotes by Srila Prabhupada. So those two things. I don't know, I haven't asked yet of the cost, whether the temple is paying, or I probably doubt it. But, so most likely there'll be a cost in printing for the books. I don't know. Not sure. Do you have a rough idea what they usually are? Yeah, they usually, yeah. And what's a rough cost? Have you done yours? No. About $20, something? Yeah. I'm not sure what the cost is, but there'll be a cost for the books. It may be around about $20 or something. No, look, if you have it, you don't need it. It's not mandatory to have that. It's suggested, in the beginning of the student handbook, that, they're good to have. It depends on your capacity. Some people will just struggle to keep up with getting through the actual Srimad Bhagavatam, let alone having some extra reading in other books. And others, will have, according to the time and their appetite for study, will be able to go through that. And there's another book by, might be Narayani, Devadasi, which is The Bhagavatam at a Glance. I did see it one time. Looks very good, very simply presented. She might have called it the Bhagavatam at a sidelong glance. Anyway, so let's have a look. Okay, Bhakti Vaibhava, of course, is the first six cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Bhakti Vedanta is the second six cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're doing the first six. It is done in two modules. The first module, we will cover the first three cantos. And the second module, we cover the second three cantos. So each should take us about a year. It depends. I haven't been able to put dates. At the moment, our lessons are every Saturday from 2 to 5. I'd like to sit down with Aniruddha at some stage and just look at the temple calendar and work out when that may interfere with some of the temple programs, but as yet I haven't been able to do that. But certainly we'll know a few weeks in ahead if we have to cancel a class. The other thing that we may have to do in order to keep up with the time is to when we have an exam, we may actually have it on another day than our actual lesson day. We might be able to, add the odd thing in to the occasional week as long as it suits everyone. And there are some presentations that are done throughout both models, and if we could actually put them in apart from our Saturday lessons, that would also be good. So, to keep the course over 2 years, we're going to have to be careful. We don't have we can't be extravagant with time. Each module, each of the two modules, has 12 units. And each unit has five lessons. So our Saturday, session will be trying to look at two lessons. That's really what we have to do. In your handbook, you will get a schedule. There'll be a page like this, which has the schedule for module 1. And it lists the 12 units. And you'll see that in unit 8, there'll be a group presentation. And after unit 10, there'll be individual presentation. So in module 1, there's a group presentation and then an individual presentation. And then in module 2, the same. One group, one individual, about the same way through the courses. We may have to add the dates, adjust them as we go a little bit. We're going to have a look at just an overview of the assessments. And all of this will be in your student handbook, so there's no need to write it down. At the end of each unit, there'll be a closed book test. This is a very nice system. It means that you don't get 6 months down the track and then be tested on what you've done so many months before, which is difficult. So after our 5 lessons for each unit, there'll be a test on what we cover. So it's good. And each of those units gets a credit. Now those 10 questions are drawn from that Purva Svadhyaya, the preliminary self-study questions and the analogies. Alright. So you'll see for each chapter, there are a list of questions. Some of which will be covered in class and some may not be. And I would strongly suggest that, you try and answer them all. And if you have difficulty with any of the questions, then, bring it up in class so that we can just make sure that, after each, that for each unit, you have a good understanding of, because the question for the open book, for the closed book test is drawn from those questions. So if we draw 10 questions and there are some that you haven't answered, you'll be having difficulty. And as a teacher, I will do my best to make sure that we cover at least quickly or generally the questions that are listed there. And some specifically, knowing which I may consider to be particularly important to be tested on. Question?
So it means that after each unit there is going to be an assessment.
Yes.
So pretty much after 3 weeks,
we
will do the first assessment.
Yeah. I'm getting to that. Save the best to last. I can see you're eager to learn some slokas. You will also see that there is summary of chapters. Sometimes that may form a question in the closed book test. So that's also something to be... So a chapter overview, it's good if you can present a chapter overview. Now, at the beginning of each unit, we've got, which is to be submitted before the next unit. It's three essays. 300 to 350 words, which is about 900 to 1,000 words per unit. Which is about 20,000 words for the entire course. So you see those questions which are there in the Purva Svadhyaya, plus the analogies and the chapter overviews, they're the sort of thing in the closed book test. And then it should be a page. Okay, what page is it? Open book assessment?
Page
26. So, the open book assessment you see there that from the very beginning, that's why I've given you them today, just so that you can't say you didn't give us our student handbooks. Everything actually that you need is there for the next class and to begin your essays. And here it says, keep your responses to the following to within 200 words. Now, one of the things I've found, because you know, they've just completed this course structure, and Atul Krishna did tell me that, you know, if you find some mistakes, which you will find, to let him know. So I noticed as I was going through how to grade the assessment, placing percentages and marks and what have you, I found differences on, you know, for the same thing they'd quote it differently in different parts. And you know, here again, they're saying 200 words, whereas, you know, here they're saying 3 to 350. So there's a so we'll make it 250. But you know, the main thing is that there's an assessment criteria which I will have. And, you know, I wonder if I've got a copy of one here. No. You know, I will be looking at of course, that, you know, you've quoted from the right places. You know, that there is you know, academic and moral integrity in, you know, the statements, you know, things like that. So you know, if it's 250 to 300 words, that's not one of the main criteria, you know. So 250 to 300, you're a very concise writer, and that's okay. So you're not really going to be heavily penalised if it's a little under and what have you. But certainly try not to be too much under. Around 250 to 300, don't be too much under, don't be too much over, because there are some marks. But it's not the main criteria for marking. So you see there, there's one, two, three, four questions there. Now you may, for your own, just because you know, for the love of study and writing, you may answer them all. And but you know, at least you'll have to do three. But 200 words, that's not a lot, is it? That's you know, 200 to 300 words, it's about 3 or 4 paragraphs. So it's not a lot. You know, like pages and pages. It's good to have a look at those from the very beginning. Then as you're going through, you're answering some of the other questions. You can be, you know, putting some thoughts down. As you come into the classes, you can be asking questions and what have you, and of course getting some information from the class, so that just before the you know, the next unit begins, you should pretty much have, you know, what you need to do, and then just perhaps just before the next unit, just put it into words, and then hand it in.
The first essay is due after the first week, and the second essay is due after the second week.
No, the three essays will be due before the next unit begins. And again, you know, certainly sometimes people become ill, or you know, they have difficulty. If there's some valid reason why, you know, you've not been able to do that, let me know. But I will say, if you, you know, if you haven't done the three essays, of course you can't get the credit for the unit until it's, you know, they're done. And if you go into the next unit and you've got another three essays, and you know, plus you're studying and you're still trying to do the other three, it's going to make it difficult. You know, so for your own, it's really it's much better to get them in, even if you feel that you perhaps could have done a little bit more work on. It's better to get them in, get them marked, and you know, gradually become better and better at it over the course of time.
Will the class be covering some of the answers to the questions?
Yes. Yes. Right, and we'll have a look at how it's all going to be marked. So, I mean, the good thing is that there's no, what they call, summative closed book test. You know, you don't do, at the end of module one, you know, just a big test. You know, it's not like that. So it actually, it makes it really easy if you keep up with them. So it's a lot better system. There will be some slokas. I think there's 70 slokas. You know, Atul Krishna was saying that, you know, we have to know the Bhakti Shastri slokas and the Bhakti Vaibhava slokas. And it was, what, 27 in the Bhakti Shastri, the 7 key memory slokas, 27?
Yeah. No, apparently it's 47.
It's gone up.
Yeah.
Inflation. So better to learn it while it's only 70. Yes, for the whole two modules, for the whole Bhakti Vaibha. The first module has the slokas, you know, come more thick and, you know, constant than the second module. So it gets easier as it goes. So those open book questions, you know, they come from the, you know, the questions are there, the essay questions from the very beginning, and you see there's a page there. Patana prayajanam, educational goals or learning objectives. So that's what they're based upon. Sorry? I'll get to that question. It says, late submissions for open book assessment may incur a penalty of 5% at the discretion of the facilitator. The slokas are assessed, it says here, it must be completed prior to 2 weeks before the end of the module. Now, with the sloka assessment, of course, you know, you just speak the Sanskrit and give a rough translation as good as you can. We don't previously, we, you know, in the Bhakti Shastra, we were writing all the diacritic marks and what have you. So, you know, it's not that difficult. But if anyone has any real problems with it, you know, we can discuss with it, with them. There'll also be presentations, two for each module. One is a group presentation and one is an individual presentation. So the group presentation will come around just after Unit 8, and then the individual presentation is probably just after Unit 10. Now, the overall grades, again, I found different figures throughout the book, so I've just applied the closest standard one to all things. Closed book tests, all of this is in your student handbook, so you don't have to worry about writing this down. Closed book tests and slokas, 35%. For the closed book test part, is 20%, and the slokas is 15%. The open book questions, which are your essays, 30%. And the presentations, 35%. 10 for the group one and 25 for the individual presentation.
How did the assessment system differ from the previous?
Well, first of all, there is one. Well, there was, but I shouldn't say that. In what way? Do you mean? Closed book and slokas, yeah, 20%. Okay. So you're saying if someone skipped all the closed book tests? No, but if they did, they'd only lose 20%. They still got an 80%.
Yeah, depending on what part
What pass might I get? Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest it.
Oh. But, you know, it's a good point that, you know, the assessment has been spread out in different ways, yeah, which is good. Yeah. No, that's a fact. So, you know, it's not so daunting. Yeah, it takes a lot of the anxiety out of it, really, doesn't it?
But more than that.
Yes, which is not a good, accurate, you know, assessment of a person's understanding of the, you know, bhakti fiber. Mm. Yep, no, that's a good point. Any other questions or comments? Marks for attendance. What happens there is that there can be, I think it's a little bit at the discretion of the facilitator. I haven't added it in, and I'm going to take Atul's suggestion that he made in the teacher training course, that if a student is a borderline for a pass, that's the sort of thing you look at. That, you know, if they've really put themselves into the course and they've attended, and also there are other things. I've got it here. That marginal cases requested to appear for an interview will need to satisfy the review assessment board that they have met the following criteria. Personal Vaishnava behaviour, including at least 50% attendance at classes, punctuality, sadhana, extracurricular service, cooperative mood, and ability to function as part of a team. So they're the sort of things we'll look at. So a person maybe, what have we got? Where did I see that figure? So students who complete all 12 units and achieve an overall grade of 65% will be credited a pass in the module. Those grades are also actually submitted to the Mayapur Institute, and they have a look at them as well. We have to fail at least a couple of people, I think, because they get suspicious if everyone gets 100%. Marginal cases will be, you know, somewhere 65 under, and then we have to have a look at, you know, that criteria there. Or, you know, some of the marginal, some people may have not kept up with, you know, perhaps some of their essays, or they may have done some essays which were understandard, in which case it's possible to have a look at those. And some things may be resubmitted. Right? So that's a little variable. There's room for everyone. Any other questions or comments on that? So within your student handbook, there's also some quotes by Srila Prabhupada on the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a couple of quotes by Prabhupada on the study of Bhakti Vaibhava, and some very beautiful verses by Sanatana Goswami, Krishna Lila Stava, just glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as the Bhagavatam's own verses in of glorification. And there's a little excerpt there from the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmyam about the process of how to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, get the best results. So within your student handbook, you will also have a sheet that looks like that, and it's a summary of all the slokas that you need, and then following that, all the slokas are there in your student handbook with the Sanskrit and English translation. So for the first module, there are 38 slokas. And second module, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's another 14 slokas, and then there's 18 from the Brahma Samhita. Not really, but these slokas, the Brahma Samhita, of course, is quoted a lot in Srimad Bhagavatam, and some of the information by Lord Brahma from the Brahma Samhita is essential for our understanding of particular sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore it's included. And there are 18 slokas, which are very important. Brahma Samhita, of course, for those who are in the habit of regularly chanting those, it's that's 18 slokas, which you probably get under your belt quite easily. So the most of the material for this Bhakti Vaibhava course has been presented. There's still quite a few gaps that hasn't been done, especially in the second module, in which case Atul Krishna will be sending me, as they do it. But most of that is work that I really have to do. As far as your student handbooks, everything is there. I think there may be a few things missing in Unit 12. So when you get your handbook, there may be some things from Unit 12 which are not there, which were there in the previous units. And then in the second module, there's a lot more gaps even in the student handbook, but I'll be trying to make those up myself and get some help from Mayapur as well. Okay, I'm going to read this quote. This is from a lecture by Srila Prabhupada on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Text 41, given in Bombay, January 16, 1975. This is Bhagavat Dharma. To study Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully, every knowledge is there. Kimva para Ishvaraha. There is no need of reading any other book. Kimva parai, in the beginning it is said, Sajo hrid evarujite ishvaraha. The perfection of life is to understand God. So by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, sadhya, immediately, hrid evarujite ishvaraha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by simply reading Bhagavatam. He is already there, but immediately he is realized. That is the perfection of life. So that pretty much covers our summary of the course overview. Any further questions or comments or discussions? I've got to those who came late, who didn't. So, you know, we'll have a shorter lesson today. Those who came late who didn't sign the attendance sheet can see me, yeah, after class. We'll have a look at that. Everyone clear? So hopefully next week I'll have the student handbooks, Book of Prabhupada quotes, and take those sheets home. Does anyone need some of those sheets to take home and study? Would anyone who didn't get some sheets? Yep. Okay. Just on this point. Did you photocopy those for me? Those sheets?
Yeah.
How many people need those sheets? Put your hands up who didn't get those handout sheets and who want them, who want to do that study. Alright? You okay? So, one. Okay. Now, two. Alright. So, one lot between you. Yeah? So, one, two, three, four. Okay. Would you be able to photocopy four more lots? Yep, yep. And pass them out to. So those who didn't get those sheets, what you need to study and look at is on those sheets. And you can have a look at those before we come back next Saturday. Are you clear about what you have to do there with those sheets? You know, with the questions and what have you. Does everyone understand what they need to do before next week? Yeah, that's your question. We do two lessons. Right. Alright, let's have a look at it. Alright, so the first page shows you that Unit 1 begins from the preface and it begins at chapter 3, text 39. You see the first page that you have. What number is that? Is that number 16? Yep. Okay. I have a different numbering system in this book. Okay. So, first of all, if you can read, if it's possible, read that whole section. That's Unit 1. You don't have to read all of that because that covers the whole five lessons. Right? And we're going to cover lesson 1 and 2. If you look at lesson 1, it's showing you that the specific text that you want to, you know, focus on, and certainly if you don't get to read everything, you should at least absolute minimum read those, but you should really read the whole as much as you can. So there's Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 1. Also from chapter 1, there's text 5 and 8, and text 10 and 11. What's that? 5 to 8, yes, and 10 to 11. It says there to revise the Purva Svadhyaya questions from 111. Now, keep in mind that this is set up in one sense for how they're doing it in Mayapur, that they've spent 13 weeks before, you know, their classes begin, and they've already gone through this Purva Svadhyaya. So it's saying revise it, but in essence, you're really going over it for the first time. Huh? And you'll see those on the next page, which would be page 17, you've got that Purva Svadhyaya, preliminary self-study, and there are five questions listed under the first text. So, read those questions before you read the first text, so that as you're reading through the first text, you know what you're looking for, and try and answer them. If you have any difficulty, of course, we're going to cover these things in class, and you know, keep a track of what you can and can't do. There's some additional questions. There's another three questions, so that just add them. Just one's relating to the first text, one's relating to the text from 5 to 8, and one's relating to the text of 10. So as you can see there, if you've actually read from, you know, for the first lesson, text 1 to 11, then you've covered the first lesson. Lesson 2, the specific text, text 2, and from the second chapter, text 1 to 5. So you see that although we, you know, we're, there's a little further emphasis we want to have in lesson 2 to meet our objectives, and we're actually almost backtracking on the text to just go over it a little bit more carefully. And then you'll revise your Purva Svadhyaya questions for text 2. So, you know, really there's no further reading at this stage. Overview of six questions of the sages and Sutta Goswami's respective responses. So, and then again, there's a little analysis, some additional questions. There's an analysis of the some of the Sanskrit in the second test, and there's some lists some examples of cheating religion. Lesson 3 will also cover chapters 1 and 2. And then when you get to lesson 4, we're dealing with the last part of chapter 2 and chapter 3. And you see lesson 5, we're dealing with chapter 4. So if you look at the, taking the unit as a whole, if you look at the Purva Svadhyaya study, the first page has study relating to the first three texts in chapter 1. And then there's an overview of the entire chapter. The second Purva Svadhyaya has study of the last part of the chapter from 4 to 23. There is a sheet in your handbook, the six questions of the sages headed by Sanaka Rishi. Do you have that sheet? You got that? Yeah. Alright. You see, so there's a nice summary there. Tells you what the question is, you know, where the answers are made. So, the next Purva Svadhyaya then is chapter 2. The overall study of that, overview of that chapter. A Purva Svadhyaya of chapter 3. With an overview of that chapter. Handbook probably is on the website. What's that? Yep, handbook is on the website. Yeah. What do you look up for that?
Yeah, it's on the website.
Okay. Okay, can you write that down, Simon? The other thing, whatever you don't have, we can. I have it here for those who want to get a photocopy as well. Let me see what you have got. You'll be getting, that is quite possible. I will ask Kundalata. I'll give that to her today as soon as I see her. I'll just give her the soft copy. She will then actually photocopy it and then take them and get them bound. So, and I'll ask it to do that as quick as possible. So it's really in her hands there. Let's have a look at this. Okay. Make sure you've got everything. All right, so you've got Unit 1, scheduled reading assignments. All right. On the back of that, Purva Svadhyaya for Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 1 to 3. Then, the next page, you've got the chapter overview for the whole of Chapter 1. Next page, you've got the questions by the sages, so that's covering, you know, chapter 1, text 4 to 23. And then there's a summary of the six questions of the sages. Then, on the next page, 19, you'll have the Purva Svadhyaya for chapter 2. And then, over the page, you have the summary. Overview of chapter 2, Right? So that's all there. That's everything that's in your handbook covering those chapters. The next thing, the next page in your handbook is the Purva Svadhyaya for chapter 3, which is we're not covering next week anyway. But then I've skipped a few pages, and at the end of the units, then you get the open book assessment, usually at the end of all these things here, and also the educational goals and what have you. So actually it's all there. Basically, it's a double lesson, and we will be covering specific things within chapters 1 and 2. We're not covering chapter 3. And those specific things that you want to pay more attention to are listed in those study guides. So if you read two chapters, just generally, that's good. And then go back and have a look. You know, two chapters, if you can read all the texts and purports, if you can read all the texts, that's good. And I probably would do that. I just, you know, literally read through the text, no purports. Just get an idea of just the flow of conversation. Who's read those chapters before? Some may not have actually read them right through. I just go through and just read the whole chapters, just the text. If you want to do the Sanskrit, you can do the Sanskrit. Otherwise, just go through the text. And then go back, and if you've got time, read all the purports. If you think somehow or another you don't have time for all the purports, then go through your study guide and concentrate at least on those sections. But, you know, to read the text, half an hour? 20 minutes? 20 minutes, at least you get an overview of both. You know, you've got a good understanding. That's very helpful. And then, you know, when you're looking at these study things, you can sort of, you know where you're going back and forth. The way the course is designed, of course, when it's not a content-driven course, which was, you know, some of the previous courses can, you know, tend to get like that. Here, according to the specific objectives which are laid out, you know, we can go back and forth as we try and meet those objectives.
Yep. You were saying like we will go to and fro, so like in the first class, we are covering like lesson 1, then the shloka 11, and the lesson 2 is like then we are starting the second chapter. And we are leaving the first chapter like by on 11th text only, or we will continue with the.
If you've actually one of the things you need to do for each chapter is to have an overview of each chapter, because that can be a question, and it's a good skill to have. Just to, you know, someone says, you know, summarize chapter 1, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can just give, you know, break it up into little sections. So you've covered the whole chapter there with an overview. Then, with the preliminary questions, things that you really should know, pinpointing your attention on those. Although some of it may be in a particular purport, some of the statements or, you know, the essence of the answer to that question may be in a particular text. That answer is summarizing that section. It's an important point in that section. So it's not as if, you know, you pick that out of the text and you don't, you know. You really need to sort of be familiar with that little section as to, you know, understand the answer to that question, which may be within one text or one purport. And then also the open book questions, as you go through those, again, in order to answer them and to write your essays, three or four paragraphs, you will have to demonstrate that you've got this overall understanding, you know, the big picture of these chapters. So, in one sense, you know, if someone just looks at specific questions and tries to pluck out a little answer from a purport and think, well, I'll skip reading all that and what have you, they're going to struggle to, you know, answer the open book questions with that broad-minded picture. And you've got to remember what we said previously, that we're not necessarily covering all the things that you can learn from these chapters. You know, it's unlimited, you know, within the classes. We're certainly going to make sure the students, you know, it will become evident if the students are not quite studying or not understanding those chapters. But it's not necessarily that we'll be doing that by covering every single facet of that. So we're you know, the student has to have the understanding. You know, of course, the teacher has to have the understanding as well. But it's not necessary that the teacher has to verify that in every class, but it will be at the end of the unit. The verification will be there whether they've, you know, looked into those couple of chapters properly, because then they'll be handing in the open book questions and the closed book assessment. And if there's just a little understanding of a few things that they've plucked out to do the minimum reading and study from the purports, they're going to have a lot of difficulty with those examinations, and also with the, you know, when they do their individual presentations and group presentation. So the students, I'm going to do them. I'm going to do them because then I know that they're going to get done, and you know, I'll be able to, you know, keep track of the students, you know, if they're, how they're going.
For the first test, like after approximately 2.5 weeks, covering like approximately 3 chapters.
Yes. Yes, you'll see that from the Purva Svajaya. There is a study of those 3 chapters, and then the next unit, you can see quite clearly that unit 2, you know, begins with Purva Svajaya study of chapter 4, and you know, there's 4. It says there in unit 2. Unit 2 actually says chapter 3, text 40, up to chapter 7, text 11. It's called Narada's Instructions to Vyas. So, there is a little bit of overlapping of chapter 3. And then getting into chapter 4. So, you know, in one sense, the you know, these studies don't necessarily coincide with a particular lesson completely. That, you know, if you just go through those, that exactly defines the lesson. You know, the students studies, you know, sort of overlapping, going back and forth in one sense of the chapters. So, you know, it really does mean that in order to get the best out of the lessons, you certainly want to cover as much of those chapters, and you know, even begin on to the next chapter.
For students who are not absolutely sure whether
yes.
they're going to be taking up the certification, the journalist would like me to would we also be given a handbook, a school's handbook?
Oh, you know, the students want to come, you know, regularly, but they may not necessarily do the whole thing. And I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be given a handbook. Yeah.
So we can flow through
yeah.
as with the others who are definitely
wanting to yeah, yeah,
yeah. So we would be also be given all these handbooks.
Yeah. 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 So. You know, there may be some that come along and they derive, you know, as much as they want from the classes without really going through all the self-study and what have you, without a handbook and just joining in to some degree or another. And there are others who may want to, you know, have a handbook and do as much as they can, knowing that they may not necessarily sit there. Yeah, yeah, that's it. So let's work out how many we got. Let's whiz out. Any other questions, comments, just before we... All right, now... All right, very quick rundown again. For those who want to actually sit the Bhakti Vaibhava certificate at the end of a couple of years... by that time, they need to be initiated devotees chanting 16 rounds and, you know, actively engaged in the preaching movement of ISKCON Melbourne, or ISKCON in general. And they need to have achieved the Bhakti Shastri certificate. If they're not initiated, they need to, you know, be sort of getting close to that, or you know, on the waiting list, or you know, like that. So for those, they're putting their name on this. You know, they think that they're going to be qualified, or they already are, and they're going to sit there for the certificate throughout all the units. And they're on that attendance sheet there. And there is another attendance sheet here I have for people who do generally want to attend. It helps me to distinguish as well. So you'll need to sign that. You need to put your... Yeah, both. Yeah, and yourselves. After I have what I said then, what do you want to generally attend or... Have you done Bhakti Shastri? You have, yeah. And
not taking the exam.
Not taking the exam. So I would suggest that you know, anyone who wants to sit the exams, who does the study, and they want to sit the closed book tests and do the open book essays and do the presentations, I will assess, you know, and if you pass that unit, then I'll credit those units for whoever, you know, does those. If perchance everything falls into place at the end of the couple of years and everything else is there, then, you know, you can do the certificate. if some units are missing, at least you have some. So then next time you do the Bhakti Vaibhava, you would have already, you know, at least there's some credits. They stay. And they'll also be listed with the Mayapur Institute as well as here. So, you know, they're permanent. And yeah. So I'll give you those two. Which one you want to put on the that you want to actually try and sit for the?
I would like to do the assessments, but we would both like to do assessments, but we don't know if we'll be qualified for the certificate at the end.
Okay. Yeah, look, if everything falls into place, then it may happen, you know. So at least I understand that you're seriously doing that, and we can try and, you know, help you along the way. Any other questions, comments? Everyone agree? All right. All right. Yep. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, there's those guidelines that, you know, the Bhakti Vaibhava. See, Bhakti Vaibhava is, if a devotee has that certificate, we have to understand that they've we've given them certification of being quite a substantial devotee within the community. You know, it's a very, very you know, if you have that qualification that it's been awarded, it carries a fair amount of weight. Those devotees will naturally be having you know, a lot of leading services as far as you know, education of the others within the temple, within the community. In one sense, they're looked at, you know, by their peers as leading members, as senior members, senior devotees. So the certificate, you know, can't be awarded willy-nilly, because then that would then what happens is that a person has more weight and responsibility and leadership than perhaps what they're qualified for, and that certainly will cause a lot of difficulty for our movement. So one of the things, you know, we certainly want to, as far as possible, give everyone as much assistance as, you know, as they can to be able to do this, you know, very rare and wonderful thing in the course of this lifetime. But having said that, one, if a devotee is certainly not mature, not a mature devotee, they'll struggle to get through the course. It's going to take, you know, there's a certain caliber of devotee that's really going to get through a couple of years, week after week, doing the study, you know, there's so many other things that a person can do, a devotee can do, and they have to juggle everything and just give this prime importance, you know. Knowing that they're being trained up to be very effective and, you know, good, you know, leaders in one sense of our society. So they're prepared, you know, they want that training, they want that service, they're greedy for it. So there's a certain type of caliber of devotee that's actually even just going to, you know, get through the course. Those who don't have that greed are really going to struggle, and, you know, they'll. After it'll become evident even after a short time that they're just not going to keep up And because that strong desire is not there, it's not going to bother them. Those that stick it out and get through it, that in itself is a qualification. But then, certainly if someone gets, you know, to the end and they're just a little bit borderline, and then we have to look that we're going to award this person the Bhakti Vaibhava, and their grades are just there, you know, and their attendance is, you know, then we have to look, you know, what is their attendance, you know, what is their general service within the community, what sort of a devotee, you know, are they, you know, their general activities. You know, someone, if we see that someone has just, you know, not quite got through, and they're a real shonky sort of a devotee, you know, it's most likely they won't be the facilitator, won't just push them through, you know. But if someone, you know, for one reason or another, a real solid devotee and really put their heart and soul into it, and, you know, for some reason, perhaps their, you know, may academics or, you know, study or that may not have always been their strong points, but you can see that over the course of time they'll catch up. Then, you know, you want to push them through because, you know, they're a good devotee with, you know, the beginnings of what they need to actually be a Bhakti Vaibhava. Yeah, that can be there. Yeah. Some people just may have that inquisitiveness and the attraction to the Srimad Bhagavatam. But you'll find that, and I find this from experience, that if you qualify yourself for a particular service, Krishna will make arrangement for you to do that service, and you'll almost be pushed into it. You know. Krishna has that. You know, he is very, very reciprocates very strongly with devotees who take an interest. You know, taking an interest in Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from taking an interest in Krishna. And he reciprocates with that we may or may not have intentions of doing this, that or the other with the service. But if we've somehow inadvertently qualified ourselves, you'd be surprised what arrangements then Krishna will make to allow you to utilize those qualifications. So yes, you can sit them without, you know, just... You know, which is... We could ask, just maybe quickly we go around, who would like to... You know, suggest what are the reasons why some of you want to do Bhakti Vaibhava. So, what would you say your reason is at this stage?
To get help to read the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, that's good. So, yeah, okay. Any. Yeah, so you're really looking forward to personal and preaching applications. Any others?
Yeah, understand Bhagavatam and increase our faith.
Yeah. Right, so that by doing this it actually deepens your love for Krishna. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, the having just done the back, what is it? The teachers Bhakti Shastri teachers training course. I've been edumacated that I have to utilize all the modern techniques of education. So I will do my best. We will be having It certainly, you know, it would be a lot more interactive than previous sort of lessons. So, you know, the, for instance, the group presentation, the individual presentations, you know, we'll be sort of doing little things during some of the classes that help us to, you know, develop those skills, so that by the time we get to the group presentation and the individual presentation, we've developed some, done some activities within the classes that we can do those. The idea is that, you know, as we go through the different modules, the devotees should be able to, you know, be very proficient in presenting different aspects of the Bhagavatam to different groups, you know, within and without ISKCON. You know, it's not that. That's actually, although you may say to have if we have a goal to have a deeper understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or to, you know, develop our love for Krishna. Literally, if we have love for Krishna, if we have a deeper understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will be wanting, and we will be regularly, you know, teaching, you know, giving that information and giving that opportunity to others. If we don't do that, it means we haven't understood the Bhagavatam, and we actually haven't developed that love for Krishna. So, yeah. So the lessons will be a lot more interactive, because what we actually want to get from this are devotees who are very interactive devotees within ISKCON and within the community. They've got those skills, interactive skills, and they're able to utilize the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, to spread Krishna consciousness and deepen their own faith and realizations, steady themselves, develop their own love for Krishna, and also to, you know, do that with others. You know, if someone comes out of the Bhakti Bhai Bhava course and, you know, their aspiration is to sit in their room and just, you know, read Srimad Bhagavatam to themselves and never really utilize it in a preaching way, they probably haven't really assimilated the message of the Bhagavatam. So I'll just finish on a quote from the preface to Srila Prabhupada says in the preface that the ideals of spiritual communism, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, are based more or less on the oneness of the entire human society, nay, the entire energy of living beings. The need is felt by great thinkers to make this a successful ideology. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need in human society. It begins, therefore, with the aphorism of the Vedanta philosophy, Tadmad Yashaya Taha, to establish the ideal of a common cause. So, you know, the qualified students of the Srimad Bhagavatam can present that to the whole society, to people at large, a common cause. So, actually, a student of the, you know, a Bhakti Bhai Bhava devotee should be able to very successfully unite all peoples, you know, by their actions, by their words, by their teachings, by their example. They should be able to unite the energy of everyone, you know, they come into contact with, you know, whether it be on a small scale or a large scale. Also here, there is a need of a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace, friendship and prosperity with a common cause. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. So any more thoughts on you know, what it means to the devotees to you know, become a bhakti by Bhavi? What comes to your mind? How will you use it, or what does it mean to you individually? Okay, that's a good point, yes. Yeah, so, a lot of people may come into contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, and is that what you're saying? And they may want to utilize that in different ways, but you know, the Bhakti by Bhava is giving you the opportunity to do it, to maximize, you know, your association with Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, it's a fact. Yeah. Because the Bhakti Vaibhava, of course, there's some nice quotes there by Srila Prabhupada, will be in your student handbook. This is all conceived by Srila Prabhupada and coming through from previous acharyas. he has certain purposes and goals, and then the different devotees who have presented these courses have just made Srila Prabhupada's goals and purposes a practical reality. So in that sense, we will be utilizing the Srimad Bhagavatam in the exact way that Srila Prabhupada would want us to utilize the Srimad Bhagavatam, and which is the exact way that Krishna, who is non-different from the Srimad Bhagavatam, would want us to use it. Yeah. So it's a very, very good point, actually. Because, you know, a lot of people can utilize the Srimad Bhagavatam in different ways. Right down to people who, you know, utilize Srimad Bhagavatam just to earn a living. You know, going straight to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, having Bhagavat Saptahas, you know, jumping to, you know. So people can, you know, generally, throughout the world, I mean, apart from ISKCON, and you know, especially within the Bhakti Vaibhava, but generally, we see that the Srimad Bhagavatam is a literature which is exploited in the exact opposite way that it was ever meant to be used. Any other comments?
Prabhupada has mentioned that purity is a force. So when going through this Bhakti Vaibhava course, so we might become pure, and then when you actually preach, it will definitely have an effect on the people.
Yeah, it's a fact. It's definitely going to be very purifying. You know, the association of devotees, that constant thought, you know, very concentrated effort, really, isn't it? You know, to get through a whole, you know, Bhakti Vaibhava course over the course of 2 years. It means that, you know, if we went through that 2 year period and take out the Bhakti Vaibhava, all the unwanted thoughts that, you know, that our mind would have had otherwise. So, you know, the purification is that we're substituting a lot of rubbish for all that meditation, deep meditation on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and, you know, putting it into practice. Yeah, so very, very purifying, it's a fact. You know, and our activities, there are a lot of activities that, you know, we'll put aside, which may be, you know, not completely necessary or a waste of time. So that also becomes beautiful. Any other comments? Very nice. Yeah. Yes.
It's after the course that slowly, during the course as well, and after the course, we started realizing a little bit, bit by bit, what we did. So would that not be the same here as well?
There's certainly, we'd be foolish to think that those who attain the bhakti by bhava, certification, that they have fully realized, the six cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We know that, some of the acharyas have spoken on, one verse or, a few verses over many, many months. And a lot of their realizations on that, those one or two verses, we won't even cover in this course. even for the top students, if we can, we don't really, in one sense, there's no real honors or high distinctions in this. There's marks, but they haven't really done like that. But even for one who is very, very successful in doing everything and very, very high grades and very happy with their activities and performance. Really, that's the beginning of the bhakti by bhava. Just like when you take initiation, it's the beginning of being a devotee. It's not like business finished. So bhakti by bhava is like someone takes sannyas. When they take sannyas, that's the beginning of sannyas. Certainly they're qualified, otherwise they couldn't take it. But if you ask the sannyasis, how they would judge their maturity as a sannyas from the beginning to perhaps, many years later after being in the field as a sannyas. So, it's natural. And as a bhakti shastri, the same. You get the bhakti shastri and it gives you a solid foundation. It really is the beginning, though. So it's expected that, in the course of time, that understanding will just mature over the course of a lifetime.
That's
good, yeah.
Okay. Right. Regularly.
Right.
Yeah. So poor guy.
Mm.
He's trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that happens. The last unit 24, which they haven't hasn't been developed. They've just got a heading on a page, but it's the qualities of a bhakti vaibhava. So just keep that in mind as you go through the course, because I know it's one of the things as I'm going through that I'll be, if I see little things, knowing that I may have to write that unit when we get to it if it hasn't been done. But it is one of the things we'll be looking at, the qualities of a bhakti vaibhava. So that's that, the very last. We'll make sure the humility, and I'll write that down.
And the whole thing was how little we know and how much we have to learn. It's exactly the same otherwise.
Yes, yeah. It's definitely a mistake to come out of Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti Bhai Bhava thinking, oh, I've done that. I've know everything there is to know, walk around like this. Yeah. It's a beginning. All right, how are we going? Yeah, the comments. Nice points. Very nice discussions. Very good. Yeah, very good. So, because that sort of discussion, of course, we need that to generate the determination and, you know, the proper mood so that we can, you know, successfully do this. We're at the very beginning, and you know, we're all going to have to work together. You know, and you'll find that you know, as you're going along, don't leave it up to me, but if you have, you know, friends that you're, you know, you may even want to, you know, we'll be working in different groups and what have you, but, you know, it's, you may even want to get someone that you work with and literally help each other, you know, to get through the whole thing. And if one sort of, you know, a quarter way through just starts to struggle, you've got, you know, a big buddy who's going to just pick you up a little bit. It's very, very, it's not an easy thing. It's a very difficult thing what we're attempting. You know, although it's been made as easy as possible by the Mayapur Institute, and, you know, a lot of the work, of course, I'll be speaking with Kesava Prabhu a lot to, you know, pick his brains and his realizations as much as I can. We have a lot going for us, but still, it's you know, it's a very rare thing. It's not an easy thing, and we should be aware of that from the beginning. We saw that, you know, with Bhakti Shastri, you know, in all the different courses, you know, you sort of pack the room out in the first day or the first few weeks, and then they just thin down. By the time you get there, you know, it's almost a teacher by himself. And he's not, you know, he's not sure whether he wants to be there as well. So, you know, let's all work together. All right, thank you for your time and attention, and may Krishna bless you with the bhakti, Vaibhava.